Stormont politicians, they're arguing about grammar skills and selection again yesterday. Saw the publication of a major new report on shared education. The report by a ministerial advisory group caused immediate controversy by recommending an end to selection at 11. The Education Minister, John O'Dowd, welcomed the report, but the DUP, they were doing anything but welcoming it. The First Minister, Peter Robinson, said it had failed to tackle the core issues and focused instead on the divisive issue of selection. The Minister, John O'Dowd, is on the line. Morning to you, Minister.
Good morning.
The DUP MLA, Mervyn Storey, who chairs the Assembly Education Committee. So glad I'm back into the country. He's come into the studio. Good morning to you, Mervyn.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, John Dowd, you're welcoming this report and end the selection, but you're not going to be able to bring the DUP with you, bottom line.
Well, that'll be probably something first on the record as well. I'm not involved in an argument over anything. The media seem to have got themselves involved in a bit of a row, and others may want to have a row about this. I don't want to have a row about it. I believe what we should do is allow the report, it's published, it's less than 24 hours old. There's 20 recommendations within it. Some have expressed a view that they disagree with three of those recommendations. Okay, let's have a debate about the report in its entirety and let's see what we agree on, how we move it forward and how we advance the cause of shared education. Yeah, there's no need for a row.
Well, listen, that's fine. And you can dance around it all you like. But the issue of selection...
I'm not dancing around anything. You introduced me into your show as having an argument. I'm telling you, I'm not having an argument.
The issue of selection is going to be right at the core of this. If you don't sort out the issue of selection, it's going to go nowhere. Is that not fair?
We won't sort it out by having a row. So let's have a sensible discussion about the issue. Allow politicians the space to have the sensible discussion. Let's have a sensible discussion in the media about it. But let's have a discussion about the shared education report in its totality.
But there's been six, row or not, there's been 6 years of devolution and it's still not sorted. Like, don't turn this into the media's fault. You lot haven't sorted it for 6 years.
I'm not turning it entirely into the media's fault. But what I'm saying is this report on shared education has 20 recommendations. And we are starting off the interview about academic selection, which I have no difficulty with. But let's discuss the entirety of the shared education report. And what I'm saying to others, and including other political parties, is instead of knee-jerk reaction to it, let's decide what we can agree on within the report and move that forward. And then let's discuss the issues which we can't agree on.
Yeah, but don't you think, John, I do hear what you say. And of course, we should be looking at other aspects of the report. But as is often the case in politics anywhere, there will be red lines for any political party. Now, is selection a red line for Sinn Féin?
In terms of shared education, no, because even the authors of the report state that out of the 20 recommendations, 3 refer to academic selection. The other 17 recommendations should and could be moved on in the absence of resolution to academic selection. Now, in my point of view, if we're going to have shared education in its totality and we're going to share across socioeconomic and religious divides, which are all equally important, then we have to deal with the issue of academic selection. But on the issue of shared education, there are 17 recommendations within the report, which even the authors of the report say can be moved on in the absence of a resolution to the academic selection.
So Mervyn Storey, if there is so much to agree on, what is Peter Robinson doing, focusing on the issue of selection?
Well, clearly, Stephen, what has happened, and despite the attempts by the Minister to try and sidestep the issue, he was the person who commissioned the report on the back of our concerns around what the executive was doing regarding shared education. And I think that it was Peter Robinson, let's remember, who commenced the debate. He was berated by many for the way in which he started the debate. However, we now have a situation where there is an ongoing debate and a very, I think, healthy debate around the issue of shared education. However, this report has seriously damaged the context in which education is going to be discussed over the next number of weeks and months. It's a missed opportunity. Like, let's look at who has come out and has been very critical of this report. We have Baroness May Blood, who has been very critical this morning in the Belfast Telegraph. We have the Alliance Party raising concerns. The only people who have come out in support of elements of this report are the unions and Sinn Féin.
Forget
I think that tells you a lot.
Why are you critical of it?
Because what unfortunately has happened is that the ideological jihad was allowed to become part and parcel of a report in terms of shared education.
Ideological jihad? What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about, Stephen, is every time we come to look at the issue of education, out of the woodwork there comes a number of people who cannot miss the opportunity for wringing their hands and attacking a sector in our educational system that has that educates in the post-primary 46% of our young people. Now, the report talks about parental choice, but it's parental choice as long as it's not a grammar school. It talks about popular schools being allowed to grow as long as they're not integrated schools. How can we have the basis of a discussion about moving forward when we relentlessly have people who are unprepared to accept the facts? Fact number one, legally, it is permissible for a school to use academic criteria as an admissions policy. Fact number two, that law will not change.
John O'Dowd?
Well, first of all, let me put my position clear on this. I have welcomed the publication of the report. I am going to take time to study the report. I have not endorsed any of the recommendations. I've welcomed the publication of the report, which I thought was a sensible thing to do. It provides the basis for an informed debate on the issue of shared education. That was the task, the ministerial advisory group. Task is with an informed debate.
But John,
I have not come to a conclusion in regards to the proposals within the report. I'm not going to define the report on the basis of three proposals within it.
But John,
I will take up the challenge which Mervyn has thrown down.
But John, you know.
Let me just finish this point,
right,
Mervyn,
okay,
right?
Right.
Let me finish this
point.
Yeah,
okay.
You cannot debate education without debating the thorny issue of academic selection. You cannot do that in terms of moving education debate from whatever point.
The point I was making to at the very top of the show.
You cannot avoid the debate, or you should not restrict people's right to debate it or have an opinion on it. And the authors of this report have expressed a view on it. But they're not the only ones. The United Nations Committee on the Rights of the Child have told us that academic selection should be removed. The Human Rights Commission, which I do not appoint, only last week published a report stating that the academic selection should be removed. The international body PISA have said it, the OECD have said it, the trade unions have said it, the Catholic bishops have said it, the Alliance Party support the removal of academic selection, as does the SDLP.
But John,
and I do not appoint any of those people.
But John, despite all of that, and going around the world for an international examples of the issue, the reality is this, and let's base this on facts, that there are a large number of parents and pupils in post-primary schools, 46% of them are educated in grammar schools. The report says parents and children have the right to their religious, cultural and philosophical beliefs being respected. I see little in your policies. I see little in some of the pronouncements that are made in documents that are produced by the department, the corporate plan for the department and various other reports that gives any respect to a sector in our system that produces very good results for our young people. And let's look at the issue of the learning communities. Grammar schools play an integral part in those learning communities. I'm going to Limavady this afternoon to take part in a shared education programme, and an integral part of that shared education programme is a grammar school. This report, I believe, is an insult to those teachers and those schools that provide that education. Yes, we have to have
a
debate.
Now, John Dowd has just dropped out from the phone, so we're going to try to get him back. What do you mean an insult? Why is it an insult?
Because, you know, how do we ensure that in the debate about how education is provided in Northern Ireland, that we bring everybody in a way that is respectful? You can't continue to do that, Stephen, by continually berating a sector which everybody says provides good education for our young people. And
everybody doesn't say.
But they do.
Where are you getting this from? Everybody says the grammar. You're trying to suggest everybody supports the grammar school sector in Northern Ireland.
No, but
everybody.
But what I'm saying, Stephen, is parents make choices.
Children that don't get access to that grammar school,
okay.
For those children who feel that they're on the back foot from day one because they haven't got access to that grammar school, they're not supporting the privileged.
Well, I think, I think we need to dispense this issue that somehow this is
the way I went to grammar school.
Yes, and let's remember the Sinn Féin spokesperson went to a grammar school. So, and there are many people who have double standards when it comes to this issue. So let's not get bogged down on this issue that it's some sort of a class war. Let's keep this in terms of educational provision. I had the opportunity to do the 11 plus. My parents decided not to put me through the 11 plus. I did not seem, others may think I am a failure, but my parents, nor did I see myself as a failure. The school that I went to gave me a very good opportunity. And the reason why I am here today is because I had that opportunity. Now, is grammar schools for every child? No. I believe that we need to ensure that our system reflects the very diverse provision or the very diverse needs of our children.
So, Jonathan Dryden, why are you fundamentally against the grammar school sector?
Well, Stephen, I think we're going to make a mistake if this entire interview is on three recommendations within this report, because this report was tasked with looking at shared education. But if we look at the academic selection debate within the shared education debate, I had tasked the group to go away and see how we can break down barriers in our society across religious divides and also across socioeconomic divides. And if we are to break down the barrier in the socioeconomic divide, we have to tackle academic selection. And I think it's all very quaint when people reflect on their educational path and they reflect on whether they sat the 11 plus or not. That's all very quaint and very informative.
I feel it myself.
It has nothing to do with education in 2013. Absolutely nothing.
Well then, Joel,
education has gone through a huge change in the last 10 years. And we talk about grammar schools as if they teach some form of different curriculum.
No, we don't say
primary
that.
Schools teach. All schools teach to the same curriculum.
Yes.
All schools now have to provide up to 24 and 27 subjects at the varying levels of a young person's career. So there's no need for any more for a selective test at 11. It doesn't prove anything. It is unnecessary. And it does create divisions within our education system. So if we're going to break down barriers, if we're going to be ensuring, then let's do it in totality. But let's not have this entire interview about three recommendations.
Well, then, if that's the case about breaking down barriers, what are you going to do as Education Minister, following on from yesterday's debate in the Assembly in relation to the removal of the discriminatory certificate for religious education, which has had an adverse impact on the employment of Protestant teachers?
Explain to people what you mean.
Well, the Catholic certificate is a discriminatory certificate against Protestant teachers getting a job in Catholic schools. Sinn Féin supported a motion yesterday in the Assembly. And John talks about breaking down barriers. How's he going to now break down that barrier? Or are we going to wait as long as we had to wait on his review from 2009 until 2013?
Go on, John.
Mervyn's description of the certificate is somewhat simplistic, but removing all that away.
Accurate.
My party did support the motion yesterday,
yes,
which looked at how the Fair Employment legislation relates to schools. And Mervyn will be aware that equality and employment legislation is a matter for the First and Deputy First Minister.
No, hold on a minute. But on that specific issue, John O'Dowd, of the certificate, why do you support it? What does that certificate do? Help me understand this.
No, hold on.
But you can't get a job in a Catholic school unless you have a certificate. But now CCMS is trying to put out this word that somehow they're going to do away with it. They will allow you to have the job for the first 3 years. If you don't have the certificate after 3 years, then they'll dismiss you. Now, for a party that talks about equality, and for a party that talks about being the champions of the underprivileged,
why can't a Protestant get the certificate?
Well, why would they need to get it? Stephen, tell me this. Does 2 and 2 not make 4 in a Roman Catholic school the same as in a state school? Why would you need a religious certificate to teach maths, geography?
You don't.
But there's a requirement, John. You commissioned a report in 2009. Martin McGuinness, the Deputy First Minister, described it as lawful discrimination. Now, let me tell you, nationalists didn't accept the issue of the employment makeup.
Let him reply.
The employment makeup of the RUC, we had to have 50-50 recruitment. So let's end the discrimination against teachers in our education system.
If you let me speak, I'll give you my point of view on it. You do not need the Catholic certificate to teach maths and geography. You only need the Catholic certificate currently to teach in a primary school, and it was to do with the Catholic sacrament. The employing authority of the Catholic sector, the CCMS, have recently announced that they will employ teachers without the Catholic certificate in the primary sector, but you have to get it within a reasonable period of time.
Why do you have to get it?
Yes, but you may put these questions to CCMS.
No, but why do you believe? You supported it.
I don't support it, Stephen. Listen to what, if you let me finish, then you will know what my position and my party position is. Yesterday's debate called on all schools to fall under Fair Employment legislation. Mm-hmm. Sinn Féin supported that debate. within the chamber. We supported the motion within the chamber that all schools and the education sector should fall under foreign employment legislation. That will therefore once, and the authority now falls with the First and Deputy First Minister to carry out a review and bring forward legislation.
You carried out a review, Joe.
If that legislation comes forward and it is satisfactory in terms of fair employment legislation, then Sinn Féin will support it.
Do you support the principle of a teacher requiring a certificate within, whoever defines what reasonable is, a reasonable period of time?
I support the removal. I support fair employment legislation.
You're giving me some type of stock kind of sidestep answer. You know what we're talking about here. We're talking about that certificate, Minister, within a reasonable period of time.
Let me tell you how interviews work. I don't tell you what questions to ask, and you don't tell me what answers.
But the question is specifically about that certificate. Do you support a teacher needing to get that certificate within a reasonable period of time?
I believe that the Catholic sector can work the system without all teachers requiring a Catholic certificate. But within primary schools that there is, there can be teachers who have the certificate to teach the sacraments, but not all teachers require
it. So it shouldn't be a requirement. Well, there you go, Mervyn Storey. Well, to be fair to him, he's ruled out any necessity for it.
But let's see action on this. We've had all the honeyed words. To be fair to him,
the minister, he was asked a question and he has answered it, to be fair to him.
It took from 2009, because of our persistence on this issue, 2009 till 2013 to get the report.
All right.
When we got the report in the Education Committee last week, it was simply saying, there's no barriers to employment. There's no adverse impact. There surely is an adverse impact. If you close two schools and one's are maintained and another's are controlled, the teachers in the controlled school have not the same employment opportunities as those in the maintained school. Those are the facts, and it's time that you end that barrier to employment in our schools.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. But, John, it's unfortunate.
Let him answer.
You don't have to be a member of the Catholic community to have the Catholic certificate, and it is available to all faiths to obtain the Catholic certificate.
Why do you need it?
Well, he's just said you don't need it.
Employment legislation is the matter for the First and Deputy First Minister.
Okay, John O'Dowd, can I get your response to what Mervyn Storey has said today in terms of he's accused you and your party of ideological jihad?
Well, It's an accusation that was thrown at those who oppose academic selection, right? I could throw the same accusation back to those who support academic selection. Ideology is a belief system. I believe in my values that in terms of equality and social justice that academic selection is wrong. And I have no difficulty with that. And I have no difficulty being accused of having an ideology. Ideology is not a bad word. But if we look at our society and the changes that have taken in our society over this last decades, two decades and five decades. The grammar sector haven't moved a single inch on this issue. Not a single inch have they given. They have constantly refused to budge on the issue of academic selection, and they have been robustly defended in that stance by the DUP. Now, I don't know why the DUP have a subservient relationship with the grammar sector. Let me finish my point, then you can come in. I am not here to close down grammar schools. Grammar schools have nothing to do with academic selection. Under the legislation, a grammar school is a school that can charge fees. So any school could apply to me as minister to be called a grammar school. I am not here to do that. But I'm here to support excellent education for all our young people. I favour in terms of academic excellence, and I believe we can achieve that in the absence of academic selection. Ideological jihad is something that's thrown out there, and we all have to say, oh, hell, I'm not. Those who are opposed to academic selection are some way warped. Take a look at where the elitist grammar schools have come from over this last thing. They haven't moved a single inch in their position.
Right, John, well, tell me this then. How do you draw a line of distinction in terms of parental choice? It seems as though it's the animal farm version of equality, in that you can have any form of educational provision as long as not a grammar school. Yet, however, your own party spokesperson, and you know this is the case, benefited as a result of being in a grammar school. So this issue of...
That doesn't make him a bad person.
No, but every document from the department's corporate plan through public pronouncements by your department and by yourself as a minister, continually gets always back to this issue of academic selection and grammar schools. Get off their back, accept the fact that they're going to be there. Let's work together to ensure that all our children, irrespective of whether they go to a non-selective or a selective school, continues to have the best opportunity. Let's focus on schools like Orangefield that I'm going to discuss with the Belfast Education Board today, whereby there's a proposal to close that school. Those schools need the support. Let's set aside the issue of certain schools that you may have a particular bias against, and let's focus on those schools where there's a need, and let's address those needs.
Marvin, what is a grammar school?
What is a grammar school?
A grammar school?
A grammar school is a school that gives a very good quality of education to our young people. And what it does is it makes an assessment on the basis of entrance on a test. And you know, John, the difference between those two things is streaming and banding. And you and I have had this debate in the chamber last week. What's the difference? The difference is a grammar school does the test before the child enters the school. Non-selective schools do the test after the child gets into the school, because then they can hide and mask the fact that they do segregate children on the basis of ability. That's reality.
Let's just tease this point out, because I think this could be interesting. A non-selective school allows all the children through its front door and then they set a test. A selective school only allows a certain number of children through its door, and they reject children as well. And the reason you're going to Orangefield High School to discuss a possible closure plan for that school is because the grammar schools around it have sucked up all the numbers, and Orangefield High School has suffered as a result.